As you said, I'm Nicole. I have been a Christian for, it'll be 10 years this year in December, so I can't believe it. I was reached my freshman year of college. I thought I was a Christian, you know, had kind of just lived however I wanted, and, you know, I was a Christian, though, you know, but just like a lot of people. And, you know, went to college, and I found a group of people who, like, kind of like Gina was talking about earlier, they, like, liked to be together, and I was like, who really likes all the people they hang out with? And so I, you know, decided to hang out with them more and study the Bible, and got baptized the December, you know, right, like, the very last day of finals, my first semester of college, so I totally believe the Lord was looking out for me, and he knew I would get into a bunch of other nefarious activities if I didn't get right with him really quick. So, because college is just, you know, it's a host of new experiences, right? But since then, I have served in the campus ministry. My husband and I were talking earlier this week about just the fact that this is the only ministry that I've served in primarily. You know, it's been my main ministry the entire time that I've been a Christian. You know, and he grew up in the church and, you know, was in other ministries and then has served in others a lot of different times too. So talking about mission today, life's greatest mission, and really how you're going to serve in the kingdom. And a lot of times that comes through in what ministry you serve in. So that's sort of why we got on that topic and on that discussion. But that's not really my intro, so I'm going to go back to what I had here. I don't know about you guys, but I've learned a lot today. We learned about just the fact that we are Wonder Women. It's already in us. The Holy Spirit living in us makes us Wonder Women. We have so much power at our disposal that we can use at any time if we just tap into it. I know I learned about conviction in one of the classes, and that doesn't always mean that we should feel bad about our sin, but it means having a strong belief and kind of living that out. We've learned a lot of great things already today, but it kind of needs to go a step further, right? Not just learning, but we need to put it into action, right? And that's sort of what we're going to talk about tonight, is that we're here to serve a purpose. We're on this earth because there's a mission at hand. You know, God has given us a mission. She told me to keep it far away from this, but we've got Matthew 28:18. I know a lot of you guys know it, but we're going to read it again. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age." So I know that there's a lot of things that we're commanded to do in Scripture, but for me, this is like, you know, the hinge pin. This is the one command. This, like, sums it all up for me as far as my purpose. You know, since I've been a Christian, this is kind of like the one verse I can go to and say, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. If I can't, you know, be patient or kind or be loving, I know, you know, like today or in this moment, I still know that I, you know, this is my ultimate purpose. Like, this is the goal that I'm striving for. And that's the goal that God wants us to really, really give ourselves to. It's highly significant to him, this task is, which means it should also be super important to us. You know, the Great Commission, this verse that we just read, is called the Great Commission usually, and it was Jesus' final words to us here before he ascended back to heaven. And I know we did a sermon series years ago called, you know, Famous Last Words, and talked about this verse and how it must mean something big, right, if it's the last thing he says before he goes. And have you ever wondered why, like, you know, God wants everybody to be saved, right? So then when you're saved, why isn't, like, the job done? Why don't you just, like, float on up to heaven and be with him? If that's what he wants, is for all of us to be with him, why don't we make it easier? You know, then we wouldn't fall away if we just floated on up, right? But there's a purpose for us here. There's a reason that we don't, you know, just get to go be with him when we're saved. He has a mission for us here, a task, and it's really important that we don't forget that and that we remember and stay focused on it all the days that we have left after we give our life to him. So that's life's greatest mission. That's it, is to go What does it say? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptize them, and teach them all the things that I have commanded you. That's our mission. So how do we achieve that? It's a big thing, right? You know, are we going to be the generation to do it? Are we going to see that happen, you know, to reach all the nations? I'd love to, but we've got to get on it if we're gonna, right? So how do we achieve that? What kind of holds us back sometimes? I know we talked about in some of the other lessons, some people mentioned that maybe sometimes you feel like you've got too much going on, or you know, you don't have enough time to maybe serve in a ministry or you know, fulfill his mission for you. You might be too busy with school or with family. Maybe, you know, your kids are involved in sports or you're involved in something. Sporting activity. Maybe you're getting married, or you're really focused on your career, or you're really into some clubs or organizations at school, or you have, you know, interests that take up a lot of time, or hobbies. Those are all things that can distract us from the mission or purpose. Or maybe the thing that holds you back is that you want to serve, but you just don't know how or where. You just don't really feel like you have like that guidance or that direction. Another thing that could hold you back is that you want to serve, but you've lost your passion or your excitement for whatever reason. You know, your spirit's just downcast and you just don't feel real motive. You know, maybe you're like, yeah, sure, I know I should, but just don't really feel like I want to. And unfortunately, there's a lot of different reasons that we could kind of give for maybe why we don't fulfill the mission that he has for us. But if we can all kind of put that aside tonight and not really think about maybe our shortcomings in the past or what holds us back, and just think about, you know, what could be, what could God do with us? You know, we have to dream really big, because if we're thinking small, the way humans like to think, you know, like, oh, I'm not very, you know, I'm just one person, what could I really do? I don't think we're ever going to achieve what he wants for all of us. And he created all of us individually, unique. I'm getting ahead of myself here, but he really has a special purpose and plan for each of us. So let's go on. Okay, so the first step to determining kind of like how he created me, you know, I just talked about how he created us all unique, you know, unique and individual, and wants to use us to serve his purpose, is that we need to really kind of look inward and see what did he make in me? What makes me unique? What makes me an individual? So that I can find out where he wants to use me. Kind of getting to know yourself better is going to help you maybe discover that. So I don't know if any of you guys have ever done the shape, the worksheets, or so it used to be a class here called 301. It's from the Saddleback, Rick Warren stuff. I'm not sure. Some of you guys may remember it. I know I've read it in a few other books too. The shape profile. And so shape is it an acronym? Is that the word for it? When each letter is something different, acronym. So we're going to go through shape. So you can write S at the top because that's the first one. And we're going to discover our shape. I'm going to talk about each of the different letters and what they mean, what they stand for. And then after that, we're going to watch a video of some other women who have discovered their shape. And then I'm going to hand out some worksheets that will hopefully help you discover your shape after this. Each one of the letters has like an individual page, and it's kind of got some examples of, I'll get to it. But okay, so S is the shape. The S in shape stands for spiritual gifts. So you need to ask yourself, what am I gifted to do? So S stands for spiritual gifts, and then ask yourself, what am I gifted to do? So for instance, on the S worksheet that I'll be handing out, it'll have lists of spiritual gifts. Because I don't know about you guys, but when I was looking over the material that was suggested for me to look over for this class, I was sort of like, I don't know all the spiritual gifts. I don't know, maybe it's just me, maybe you guys are way better at knowing that kind of stuff. Or I just was like, I mean, I know a couple that I've read through, you know, but it wasn't like I could pull up a list in my mind really quickly. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:7. That says, the Holy Spirit displays God's power through each of us as a means of helping the entire church. So the Spirit working through you displays God's power, and that's how we help the whole church. And that's what a spiritual gift is the Holy Spirit working through you. The purpose of spiritual gifts is to bless others. It's not so you can have this gift and be like, hey guys, you know, I'm an evangelist. It's really awesome to be an evangelist. You know, it's for you to bless others. It's the whole reason you have it is for others. And it's to fulfill his mission, right? That's what all the gifts he gives us are supposed to be used for. I love this verse, 1 Peter 4:10. We've probably talked about it in other lessons today, but 1 Peter 4:10 says, God's gifts of grace come in many forms. Each of you has received a gift in order to serve others. You should use it faithfully. So, like I said, I wasn't very familiar with spiritual gifts. I don't know if you were, or if you are, I'm sorry. But I have a few truths about them that I'm just going to read to you in case you're like, oh, I don't know, that sounds kind of hokey. Like, do we really still have spiritual gifts? Or was that just back in Bible days? You know, I've got a few verses that you can look at later in there. So I'm going to give you a truth, and then I've got a verse that kind of backs up that truth about spiritual gifts. So number one is that only believers have spiritual gifts. So because the Holy Spirit gives the gift to you, you receive it through baptism when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit as well. You get that gift. And that's in 1 Corinthians 2:14. The second one is that you can't earn or work for a spiritual gift. Unfortunately, you can't just go to my list that I'll give you and say, well, I want that one, and that. It's not a menu. You just get what God gives you. Fortunately, he knows you better than you know yourself, and he's picked out a gift for you that is, you know, uniquely designed for you to, he knows who you are and how you work, and it's supposed to kind of bring the best out of you and allow you in your most natural state to be the most purposeful, I guess. Third one is that the Holy Spirit decides what gifts I get. I think that's probably already one that we have established. And then the fourth is I'm to develop the gift that God gives me. Romans 11:29 is where that one's backed up. And some stuff I read on that was sort of talking about it's sinful not to use the gifts that God gives you. So it's obvious that it's up to us to really use it, develop it, and make it strengthen it, I guess. And then using my gifts honors God. Using my spiritual gifts honors God, which is pretty self-explanatory and something you would guess. But that's found in John 15:8. So, as I said, you can look at a list of that when we get to the worksheet. So we're going to move on to H. The H in shape stands for heart. And then you want to ask yourself, what do I love to do? Psalms 37:4, I'm sure a lot of you guys have heard this one as well. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Heart is used a lot of times in Scripture to kind of mean like what you're passionate about or what motivates you. What do you care about the most? Your heart represents your motivations. If your heart is in something, then you're motivated to do that, right? We instinctively care about some things and we instinctively don't care about other things, right? Your heart is the real you. Your passions are born from within. It's not something somebody else... I can't make you passionate about what I'm passionate about. It's something that is just in you. So your heart determines why you say the things you do. Matthew 12 says that the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Your heart determines why you feel the way you do. Hebrews 4 says that the word of God examines the thoughts and motives of the heart. And your heart determines why you act the way you do. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of your life. So your heart is connected to a lot of different aspects of your life, right? Your heart is just, you know, it shows up in how you act, what you say, what, you know, everything, the things you feel. Let's see. So, as I said, I've worked with campus ministry for, I guess, almost 10 years. I cannot believe that is possible. But I've been in the campus ministry for a long time, and I've seen it through a lot of seasons. I've been in a couple different ones, too, because I used to live somewhere else and be a part of a different campus ministry. But I think that one of the most discouraging things to see is a ton of really, really smart, talented people that have absolutely no motivation to do anything. I mean, have you ever been a part of that maybe at work or at school? Like, you know they're brilliant and they could do this in like 5 seconds if they just put like that much effort, or if they just cared that much, it would be done, it would be over, it'd be great. But they just can't care that much, right? And that's been really discouraging. But it's also, on the other side, the flip side, super encouraging when you have people that, I mean, you know, maybe they aren't the, you know, the smartest people you've ever met, you know, like intellectual or academic, you know, but they are super motivated to do the will of God and to see what they do. You know, it's encouraging to see that, you know, even though you're like, man, who knew that could come out of that person? And that's sort of where, you know, that's the ministry I've served in, so that's how I've seen heart displayed or passion displayed in a ministry or mission setting. So let's see. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Losing my spot here. Okay, I'm going to move on to this part. It says, to kind of give you a better idea if you're not grasping all the way yet, Peter and Paul had similar spiritual gifts, right, for spreading God's word, you know, the gospel. That you would say that they both had that spiritual gift, right? But when you really look at the scripture and kind of look at those two men in their lives, you notice that you know, Peter and Paul had different passions. They kind of cared more about different groups of people, right? Paul loved to minister to the Gentiles, whereas Peter loved to preach to the Jewish people, right? So it's the same spiritual gift, but they have a different heart. So it shows up in different ways in their life. So that's how it might be for us, too. I have a question for you under this section. I want you to ask yourself, if you knew you couldn't fail, this is what I would attempt to do for God in my life. I mean, maybe that's a kind of a weird way of putting it. But if I knew I couldn't fail, I would attempt to do blank for God. And if you find that you're writing down exactly what you're already doing, congratulations! You know, you must have a really fulfilling, fulfilling life. You know, it would be great to always be doing what I knew I could do. But maybe some of us have trouble obeying those nudges from God, or noticing them. Or I think for the most part, it's probably just obeying. I know some notes that I had that maybe in the secular world you might ask the question, if you had all the money that you ever needed in your life, what would you do tomorrow? You know, and there's a group of people that says, I'm going to go, you know, I don't know, for me, I'm like, I, you know, maybe not go to work, maybe, you know, go to the park, you know, I do a lot of different things. I'd spend my time doing stuff that's fun, you know. They said play golf or never work again. And then there's that other group that says they, you know, do exactly what they're doing. And there's a different gear, right, when you find your niche, when you find exactly what your passion is and you're doing it and you're, you know, it's just a different place. So kind of think about that and think about, you know, what you're passionate about. And I have that we should really, like I said earlier, dream big. We really need to realize that God isn't like us. You know, he's not this like tiny inconsequential God that can't do much. You know, he created everything. He can do anything. And he wants to do just that through each and every one of us. But we kind of have to, he needs us to do some of this thinking, you know, do some of this figuring out of ourselves and figuring out what he made us to do. So we got to do the legwork so that he can accomplish everything he wants to. So if he couldn't fail, what would you do? So moving on to the next one is A, S-H-A. The A stands for abilities. What natural abilities do I have? First Corinthians 12:6 says that there are different abilities to perform service. So just like spiritual gifts are from God. Your abilities are from God as well, but they're given to you at birth. And sure, some of them are learned, you know, after birth, but it's all still a gift from God. Like we said, He created everything. So the only difference is that these are given to you at a different time. And, you know, one of the most common excuses that people offer for, like, not doing as much for God or for the kingdom or for His mission is that they just don't have any abilities. Like, how could God use me? You know, I don't really have anything to offer, which is really silly because we all probably have dozens, if not hundreds, of abilities that we don't even know we have, right, that lie dormant inside of you, that you just sort of have to discover. So I know, for me, probably motherhood, like, showed me some of that, I guess, that, you know, there was a different gear, there was another, that was an ability that I didn't know I had, you know, caring for this small infant and actually keeping it alive was something I wasn't sure I could do. You know, I wasn't sure that was in me. Sure, I got a little taste of it, like, I'm the oldest of four, so I got, you know, my fair share of bossing around, like, in, you know, in mothering, I guess, you know, to an extent, but it's different when you're the actual mom, and, you know, you get home from the hospital, and you haven't slept in, like, you know, 4 days, and the nurses aren't around, and your husband's passed out, because he hasn't slept either, and you're like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do, and you just do it, and you know, I didn't even know it was in there, and then I'm doing it, you know, and so it's there are things like that in your life that you just have to discover, and it's kind of exciting when you really think about it, like, what could it be inside of me that I don't even know? Sort of my next section here is I do that a lot. I don't know about you guys. Maybe I'm the only. I mean, I know I'm not the only weirdo in here, but I'm definitely one of them. But I'll just sit around and think, what am I going to be able to do in 10 years? Like, I look at my friends and how talented they are, and some of my, you know, my friends have maybe discovered some of these talents while I've known them. Here, what did I have? I know one of them was Caitlin. I met Caitlin, who does our sign language stuff. I'm not interpreting. I don't know any of the terms, by the way. But when I met her, she was just starting school, I think, for that. And so I think she had a passion for it and everything, but I wouldn't say it was a firm ability quite yet. And so to, like, watch her, you know, and then to just, and not even just be able to, you know, a lot of the girls now talking, you know, with their, I'm doing all this because I don't know any of it. More, please. I know more, please, because I teach my daughter that. You know, to and see the way she worships God and is able to really, you know, bring other people into that, you know, that have started coming to our church now. I mean, it's amazing. I'm so, like, proud of her. And, you know, and not like I had anything to do with it, but I'm just so encouraged by that, by her discovering that ability and being able to really use it for His mission. That's, like, a perfect example. I don't even think, I just got rambling about it. I didn't even realize how good it was, but it really is. You know, she's really used it for Him. But there's all sorts of abilities that we don't even think, you know, you might not even think that it could be used for God. You know, let's see. What are some of my friends are really talented. My mother-in-law, Denise, is learning to quilt. So hopefully she can, you know, help me, teach me, and I could maybe serve some people that, you know, with doing that. Brian has become this great, like, nursery room coordinator and teacher. She is great with the little kids back there. And I watched that kind of come out of her. My girl Morgan back there can sing. Mary is super resourceful. You take her, you know, you hear about a deal, she's gonna tell you about all the deals going on. Hassan, my friend Ashley Hassan, is good at a schedule. She is good at keeping people on schedule. Susan Chappell is always making me laugh with a story. And then Cassie Clark also, too. They just have this ability to make people laugh, right? Like, I don't know if you guys have ever, if you know these people, but Susan, you make me laugh almost every time I talk to you. And it's just an ability you have. You just, like, loosen me up. Jessie Chappell is super athletic. She's got this athletic ability like I've never seen. I told her I was going to talk about her in my lesson, so that's what it was. Oh, and I wanted, Jen can give a great massage. That was it. I was trying to think, you know, I'm like, some of you guys just have, you know, abilities that I'm like, that would be so cool to be able to do that or that or that, you know, and I'm amazed by it. And you can use any of that. And it may not be your career, you know, it may not be what your profession is. You know, some of us are teachers, writers, recruiters, artists, editors, planners, managers, counselors, and that's not our job, 9 to 5. That's just an ability that we have that maybe we don't get paid for, but we could still use it for the kingdom. Or maybe you have trouble seeing that the ability that you do have a career in, maybe you are, that you could also use that for the kingdom. You know, it kind of goes both ways. I wonder what's happening. every ability can be used to glorify God. Everything that you can do can be used for Him. You just have to kind of figure out how you're going to do it, right? Paul said that whatever you do, you should do it all for the glory of God. And the Bible is full of different people using their different abilities to glorify Him and used to promote His mission. So what are you able to do? What does God want you to do? And remember that you're the only person on earth that can use your abilities. You know, I can't sing for Chelsea. She has to do that, right? She has to choose to do that for Him, to glorify Him. I can't do it for her. So don't wait around for somebody else to, you know, to use it for, you know, or pull it out of you. You gotta kind of do some of that legwork yourself. Okay. P. The P is for personality. Where does my personality, where does my personality best suit me to serve? Where does my personality best suit me to serve? Your personality will affect how and where you use your spiritual gifts and abilities. So, for instance, two people may have the same gift of evangelism, but if one's an introvert and one's an extrovert, that could come out in a lot of different, in two very different ways. Let's see. You know, people that work with wood or, I guess woodworkers, carpenters, whatever, know that it's a lot better and easier to work with the grain than against it, right? That's a lot easier. So in the same way, when you're forced to, you know, maybe minister or whatever, in a way that's not natural to you, sometimes that produces not as good of results, right, as the same way it would in woodworking. Create tension and discomfort and kind of requires extra effort and energy and like I said, doesn't produce as good of results. So that's why mimicking someone else's ministry never really works. You know, if you see somebody else doing something great and you're like, I'm going to do it exactly like them, that's not going to work very well for you because you're a different person. God created you unique and you're an individual. It's just different. You've got to figure out yourself and figure out how He created you and then go from there. Of course, we can learn from the examples of others and try to integrate some of that, but you just can't adopt everything. And I'm not trying to also say that you shouldn't push yourself outside of your comfort zone. You need to, you know, you can't just say, well, I'm an introvert, so I'm not going to reach out. That's not at all what I'm saying. You know, you still need to push yourself to meet new people. It just may be in a different way. I'm going to use my friend Kathy again as an example, because she's just so great at like walking up to anybody and starting a random conversation with them, and she's funny, and it'll go really great for her for the most part. I mean, I think you might have got yourself into trouble like once or twice by saying something random, but for the most part, it goes great, and she just has a way of making people laugh, and she can just strike up a conversation with anybody. I have to sit there and think for like 3 minutes, like, what can I say to them? I always go with a compliment, like, oh, I love that shirt, or I love those shoes, and it's genuine, I don't make it up, you know, like, I do really like whatever it is, but I just have to come up with, like, an icebreaker, you know, to start. I can't just, you know, randomly say, hey, come over and hang out with us, like she would do. She'd be like, you're coming with me, and I'd be like, oh, hi, how are you? I like that shirt. And then we talk for 10 minutes, and then I'd say, would you like to come? You know, that's just because we're different. We've got different personalities. One of the sections in on the personality worksheet is it cooperative? Let's see what it is. Cooperative or competitive? And I don't know about you, but that's usually pretty easy to identify too. If you're competitive or if you're not, the cooperative says you're more relationship based, and competitive says you're more like achievement oriented. And I am so like cooperative. I never want to compete. For the campus ministry, we play like capture the flag and just different games all the time because young people like to move around a lot, and it's pretty. Can be a little tiring for me, but in general, I just like to have fun. I don't like the whole. I'm all for like competition. I'm not thinking every kid should get a trophy in t-ball. That's not really what I'm saying here. But I'd rather just have fun versus it always being a competition with having winners and losers. So that would be where I fall. And again, on this, there's not a right or wrong. It's just the personality God gave you with all of it. It's just what God gave you and how you're different and tapping into that and using it, in the best way you can for Him. So when we get to that part of the worksheet, it's going to talk about being an introvert or an extrovert, being cooperative or competitive, being having self-control or being self-expressive is the other category. And the way they describe this is, so self-control would be you don't disclose a lot, and self-expressive would be that you show a lot of emotion. And it says a quick way to find out what you are or which one you would identify with is to get on an airplane for a 5-hour flight and you sit there for 5 hours and don't say anything to them. That would be, and no words pass. You'd be very far on the self-control side. And then if, within 10 minutes, they know your whole life story, you'd be on the self-expressive side. So some of us are like that, And it is sort of a spectrum, but I think it'll be better if you just pick one rather than just put yourself in the middle of all of these when we get there. And then the other category is routine or variety. Do you prefer routine activities or, chaos and variety and always something new and different? So the last letter for our acronym is E. The E is for experiences. What experiences have I had? Romans 8:28 says that we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So when you're asking yourself, what experiences have I had? This is something that if you have done the SHAPE profile before in your past, I think this is one of the main reasons it would be good to do it again, because it's probably been a little while and your experiences are always growing, right? You're always gaining new experiences, working with different people. It was like a 4 or 5 page document that I got from the Saddleback material that I was given to work from this. So I shortened yours down a little bit and kept it to just one side, front and back. But Probably the most, it has it in 5 different categories: ministry, spiritual, educational, work, and painful experiences. And probably the most relevant to fulfilling His mission is going to be your painful experiences. Unfortunately, God never wants to waste a hurt, right? He allows some of those awful things to happen in our lives so that we can use them to help comfort others. Let's see, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but in Philippians, Paul says that, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. The whole concept of being in prison, he knew, was to serve and advance the gospel, and he was able to do that through, being being held captive, I guess. So if you really desire to be used by God, you must understand that the very experiences you have resented or regretted most in your life, the ones you wanted to hide and forget, are the ones that He really wants to use probably the most. So again, we can go through that on the worksheet. I'm sorry, I feel like I'm just talking a ton about these worksheets. I didn't want to hand them out to you and get you distracted and, have you start working on it, but I think it'll be really good to, to do when you get a moment, or maybe 20 minutes to yourself. But once you discover your shape, that's sort of the end of the shape part, but once you discover your shape, what's next? We have to evaluate where we're at, right? And see, okay, so He made me this way. Now we've got to get on with it. We got to be used. We got to figure out how, you know, based on how he made each of us individually, how does he want to use me? And hopefully you'll discover a lot of really new and interesting things about yourself through that. You know, I just thinking about the few things in my shape through doing this lesson, I'm like, I don't ever really think about how he made me and then try and use that. But he gave us all natural abilities for a reason, and probably if we tapped into those a little more, we might be a little more effective, and we might be reaching more people and fulfilling his mission on a greater level than we are now. And I don't know about you guys, I know that we're here because we love God, and we want to honor and glorify him, and we want our lives to mean something, and for it to not just be something we do on the weekends, but to integrate all aspects of our life. And that's what we're trying to do here with looking at all aspects of our life and all the different ways he created you and trying to discover how exactly does he want to use me so I can be used to my greatest potential. And it does require, like I said, some legwork and maybe some, you know, some difficult soul searching, you know. And I know, I don't know, I like a packet, but I know some of you don't like self-evaluations very much. I know the girls in my discipling group, Kelsey, is always hating on me because I'm always asking her to evaluate herself, and she hates it. But I think I know that hopefully she sees the value in it after all these years. And I hope that you guys can too, and that you can get something from it, and that we can really get on to being used by him to our greatest potential. Because I want to see you guys do that. And maybe you are already. I know I'm sort of talking to us like none of us are. And that's not on purpose. I just, I figure that most of us have a lot of things that we could be tapping into that we're not. And maybe that's just me. If you're doing it already, keep on keeping on. I'm so proud. That's awesome. That's great. We're all encouraged by that. But if you're struggling, you know, let's work on this and maybe talk to a sister and ask them to help you go through this too. Ask them what they see in you. It doesn't have to be all on your own. We need to help each other.